I can ask those who had been involved in this year's VBS, if you can please stand up so that we can acknowledge and appreciate you, including those who have prayed for us. Please stand up so we can appreciate you. Thank you. And these people see you, and I see you, but it doesn't matter because the only thing that matters is that our Father in heaven sees you. And he will reward you when the time comes and abundance. I just want to highlight a couple of things for you. If you see these duffel bags, this is one of the most touching activities that we did during VBS. So we assembled these duffel bags for the foster kids. And then when I asked if anyone knows what foster kids are, there were a couple of girls whose family is a foster family. So they took in foster kids, and they explained to their friends what it's all about. And everyone's excited about handing assembling these duffel bags. So a greeting card with encouragement notes. And then we got towels and toothpaste, toothbrush, pens, and notebook. But most importantly, we got you-sponsored Action Bible. The Action Bible, and we prayed over these Bibles so that this will be the first thing that they find when they open this duffel bag. And these foster care kids, they go in and out of foster homes. Some I heard in a matter of 8 hours. And they come in with trash bags containing all their belongings. And if you come in and out using trash bag, how does that make you feel? So these duffel bags is on the rise. We're going to donate them to the Bethany Foundation, which is a Christian foster care organization. They do adoptions as well. I think adopting a foster kid and adopting a child is the most godly thing a Christian can do, just like we are adopted into God's family while we're yet his enemies. So thank you for your sponsorships of these duffel bags. Thank you for praying. It was such a wonderful experience. If you can't tell by the smiles, it's nonstop. It's nonstop. And if you haven't been involved in VBS before, I would encourage you to join us next year. No experience, no resume, or no interviews are going to be held. Although March and I, we're probably going to hound you for clearances. And I don't know what these cotton balls are here for. All right, so before we start, I have a little demonstration. Everyone is a natural-born juggler. The only question is, how many balls are you juggling in your life? So if you're juggling just one ball, I mean, you can do this like a professional, right? You can do behind your backs. Okay, let me try that again. There you go. So people tell me that I have hands like digital clock. Get it? Digital clock. I have no hands. But juggling one ball. But juggling one ball is not a problem, right? I can do this. I can even do something like that. It's no problem at all. And if you're going to school, you go to school, you come home, you eat, you sleep, and that's that. But when you introduce a second ball, then you start juggling between work, home, and church, and school, and all the other stuff, and I'm babbling now. I don't know what I'm talking about. But yeah. But once you get into marriage, you introduce a third ball, and parenting comes into play. And this is where I'm concentrating really hard right now, but juggling between kids and work and school and church and relationships around you, it's pretty tough. Thank you. Thank you. Not bad for guys with hands like digital clock, right? So parenting is hard. Parenting is hard because, well, I forgot my notes here. Parenting is hard because everyone is juggling with a lot of stuff. And especially this day and age where both parents usually work. And we're continuing to the higher educations in during our career life. And what about us managing our relationships with our parents as well? I mean, that introduced a new dynamic in our family life, right? My mom just went home, and it was so funny. So last year she was here. I said, okay, Mom, she's getting a little bit older, right? But she can still help out around the house and everything like that. But this year, I really felt it. I really felt it because she asked for doctor's appointments. And I'll tell you a funny story. So she has this habit of packing early. And I told her, Mom, it's useless. Why do you... Every time she goes back home to Indonesia, she packs 3 weeks early. And then I said, there's no sense. I know on the last night, you will turn the suitcase upside down and then repack everything. So she said, no, I'm not going to do that this time, right? And then the night before she left, she said, can you weigh the suitcase? And then I weighed the suitcase, and then I saw that the scale is in kilograms. And I said, okay, let me change it to pounds, because that's what the Pittsburgh airport uses. And then I said, it's 51 pounds. And then she says, turn it to kilograms. It'll be all right. So my mom is smart. My mom is smart, but I think Father Time has caught up to her, and it's funny. So yeah, ask Nika about stories; she'll tell you. So one of my friends asked me, and it's a kind of somber question. He was my best man, and he has two daughters, and then he asked me, "Hey, are you close with your kids?" I said, what do you mean? Do you talk to them? I said, yeah, we talk all the time. I mean, I'm engaged with them. I'm their teacher. And then he said, well, that's great, because mine, every time I ask her, you know, how things are going, I got the eye rolls. So parenting is hard. And can I talk about electronics for a little bit? So I just gave Ashley her first cell phone. And she just graduated sixth grade, and I know she's going to get into trouble. But, I mean, it goes with the territory. This is the first generation that is raised by technology. I mean, as I grew up, I was raised with technology. I saw technology change from the LPs to the cassettes. I don't know if Jamie knows what cassettes are, but the 8-tracks and floppy disk. Start with a big one and then a small. I mean, you go through these progressions, and then all these kids now, they stream music from their phones. and earphones or earplugs are everywhere. So it's kind of scary being parents in this day and age. It seems like they are exposed earlier and earlier to a lot of the tough questions, a lot of the issues that I grew up with. Problem with evil. How do you explain evil? How do you explain death? How do you explain sex to fourth graders? It's tough. Not to mention we're dealing with sickness and then abuse. Parenting is hard. And I want to bring a good news for parents. I want to bring good news for parents because there is a way. There is a way. Let's pray. God, I pray that this time you may use it so that to comfort the parents, to comfort this church, and have everyone look to you for understanding about parenting. In Jesus' name we pray, all God's people say. So Psalm 127, 3-5. Yes, children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Children born during one's youth are like arrows in a warrior's hand. How blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. So I want to highlight a little bit about VBS. We learned the concept of stewardship. And I want to bring it into today's message in that faithful stewardship leads to reward. Faithful stewardship leads to reward. This is one of the two concepts that I'm going to present today, and hopefully this will help encourage everyone and instruct the parents how to raise their children. We talked about stewardship. We talked about the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, 14 to 30. In Matthew 25, there's a master that goes away, and before he goes away, he calls three servants. Give them five talents, two talents, and one talent. So we did that with the kids to teach them that first, God does not play fair. And Allison, my middle daughter, asked me the toughest question. She asked me, why is God not fair? It's a tough question, but it's a fact that we're dealing in life. God does not play fair. He gives anything that he pleases to whomever he chooses. So Psalms 127, it says, you know, blessed are those who has children, but he also chooses to withhold children from couples. It doesn't mean that you cease to become parents. That's why we're in a fellowship. That's why we're here in this church. It takes a church to raise kids. And for those couples who God withhold children from, I wouldn't say at all that God withhold blessing. I would say that God gives you an opportunity to be blessings to many more. So there is no room for comparison. I'm sorry. I composed this. I should make it bigger and have more contrast. But it says no room for comparison. There's no room for comparison in the game of parenting, in the game of talents, because God gives each people their portion. All we need to do is be faithful, because faithfulness leads to reward. So these three servants, the one with the five talents doubled it, and he got a reward. The one with the two talents doubled it, and he got the same reward. And I think that's important for us to know that our God is a wonderful accountant, but he's also a wonderful God. He will reward us for our faithfulness. Parenting is stewardship. Parenting is stewardship. It's very easy to think that, you know, these are our kids. We want to hold on to them. But we are stewards. We've been entrusted with them, but they're not ours. So I'm going to lead to this, the arrow analogy. Children are a gift of the Lord, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So this is an anatomy of arrows, of an arrow. There are four parts. The nock, which is the little notch where the arrow is attached to the string of the bow. And then there's the fletching, which is made out of feather or fin or plastics. Sometimes people call it fins. And then there's the shaft. And then there's the tip that strikes the target. So I've dug into this a little bit, and it is a genius. It is a genius analogy that the psalmist put out for us. It says children are like arrows. So, first of all, accuracy is the name of the game, right? When it comes to bows and arrows. So the nock is the attachment to the bow. So I researched that the nock cannot be so tight. So it needs to be a little bit bigger so that it allows some flex. So the attachment to the bow cannot be too tight. Otherwise, the arrow will not release properly. And then the fins. Oh, the material. The heavy versus light. It depends. It depends on the application. The heavier arrow will strike a target with more impact, but it's slower, and it travels shorter distance. But the light arrows are fast and travels longer distance. Same thing with kids. God has given them different capabilities, different potentials, different characteristics. And it's not up to us. It's up to him. It depends on the application. It depends how he's going to use them in the future. The next part is the fletching, the plastics or made out of plastics or feathers. I liken this to the personality of the kid. And the funny thing is that it's really the archer's preference, whether they use fletchings that's made out of feathers or plastic. As with kids, some suits our personalities and our skills. Some don't. But it's not up to us. It's not up to us. Next is the shaft. The shaft is the shaft determines the accuracy. If the shaft bends too much, then it's going to flutter all over the place, and it's not going to strike the target. No matter how good we are at parenting, no matter how good the archer is, if the shaft is bent, you're not going to strike the target. The arrow is going to miss the target. So I liken the shaft like the child's integrity. If it bends too much, they're going to miss their marks. And now the tip. The head of the arrow is chosen to suit the target. In hunting, those of you who hunt with bows and arrows, you know what I'm talking about. Depending on the target, the material of the head, the shape is going to be different. So what are we aiming in life? What are we gearing our children to aim in life? Is it success? Is it happiness? Is it prosperity? Is it popularity? Is it power? But no matter what kind of arrows that we have, all arrows needs to depart from the archers. An arrow is no good unless we let them go. And it's funny that when it comes to shooting bows and arrows, nature matters. The condition in which we release the arrows matters more than shooting a gun. The conditions are not always favorable. Rain, wind can change anything. So my old driving instructor, he always said to us, the next time there's snow on the ground, you ask your parents to drive with you. And he said, I guarantee you they will say no. Absolutely not. But this is what you tell them. You tell them, sooner or later, I'm going to have to drive in the snow. Do you want my first time to be with you or without you? That is a very wise principle that my driver ed teacher gave me. Sooner or later, the arrows must depart from the archer's fingers. And then as the wind carries them, as the rain slowed them down, we just have to pray and hope that the arrow will strike. It's like driving in the snow. Do you want the first time they're exposed to it with or without you? Faithful parenting leads to reward. Faithful parenting leads to reward because parenting is stewardship. They're not ours. God's. Principle number two, stewards recognize ownership. Stewards recognize ownership. So Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. And that, my brothers and sisters, includes you. Guess what? It includes our children. They're not ours. They're his. So, whether to shelter them or to expose them, whether to break them up or to build them up, to justice or to grace, arrows must depart the archer. Whatever we do, whenever we're faced with two choices, to shelter or expose them to something, to break or to build them up, to expose them to justice or to teach them grace, we need to prepare them for when they depart from our hands. So when it comes to sheltering and exposing them to social media, there are a lot of parents who just prohibit social media for their children. As long as you live under my roof, you're not going to do. Well, thing is, they're not always going to live under your roof. Whether to build confidence or to break arrogance, whether to build strength or to break defiance, we need to do everything to prepare them to go on without us. Same thing when we enforce justice or we extend grace. So in the Nathaniel family, we have paddles. You know those wooden spoon that you use to stir soup with? We put the names of our daughters on the back of it. So whenever they are defiant, like willful disobedience, we open the drawer. We got them out. And it becomes more of a, like a psychological warfare. So you scrounge through them, right? You open it. When they heard the sound of that opening drawer, somebody's going to get a hurting. The funny thing about children, people tell me all the time, I wish they come with instruction manuals. Well, they do, but each child is so different that if you write a good instruction manuals for each, there's not enough pens in the world and scribes in the world to guide us. But the Bible gave us principles. And so I'm trying to boil everything down to these two principles so that you get a general idea. Again, I'm not recommending the paddle or corporate punishment or whatever it is. It's really up to the child. My child responds well to it. Others might not. I cannot be up here and then say, oh, these are the five steps of godly parenting. There's no such thing. Whether to homeschool, public school, private school, no school. It's an adventure. It's an adventure between you, the Lord, and the child. That's what makes this game so exciting. So if the stewards recognize ownership, what does their owner want? It's not what we want in their lives. It's what their owner wants that matters. First and foremost, in Matthew 18:14, it is not his will that these little ones . So when I read this, I remember VBS. When I read this, I remember my main purpose as a parent. Lead them to Christ. Lead them to Christ. We know salvation is by grace through faith in the works of Jesus. Only. And somehow, you and I are privileged to deliver the gospel every day in their lives. It's so funny to hear parents that say, oh, these are personal matters. I'm not going to brainwash them. I'm just going to let them decide. You know what? Whether we brainwash them or not, they are going to decide on their own. It is a personal matter. So we need to make sure that they are deciding with wisdom. Lead them to Christ. And then Acts 17, 24 to 27. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. The God of this world is not a God who lives in temple that needs human hands to serve him. He doesn't need us to serve him. He doesn't need our children to serve him. But he determines the place and time for nations in hope that they would seek him so that he can have fellowship with his people. That's what he wants. He wants it out of you and me. He wants it for our children. It doesn't matter what we want for our kids. It matters for what matters is what their owner wants out of them. So I'll bring it back to Paul's encouragement in Philippians. In Philippians 3, 8 to 14. So Paul is this Pharisee of the Pharisees. He details all his upbringing and everything. He's a Roman citizen. He can speak Hebrew. He can speak Greek. But he count all of it as loss. All of it. And that's because everything compares to knowing Christ. Garbage. What are we aiming for our kids? All the stuff that I mentioned: success, popularity, power, money, happiness. Garbage compared to knowing Christ. Lead them to their owner. Lead them to their owner. So, that verse, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me, is a favorite verse for athletes. It's like, oh, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. It's been taken out of context a little bit. Yes, it's true in that kind of sense, but Paul is really talking about in abundance or in need, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Parenting is the same way. It's not always full of abundance, isn't it? Sometimes we are in desperate need. When we come face to face with sickness, with death, and then same thing with abundance. When they succeed, when they grab that first place trophy, when they grab those good grades. But in abundance or in need, I've trained myself to become content. That's what Paul is saying. Because I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. That's the encouragement I want to give each and every one of us. Be content. Be content. Because knowing him outweighs everything in our lives. As much as I'm encouraging the parents, we need to transfer it to the kids. It's not only for us, but for his little ones. His little ones. Parenting is hard. Parenting is hard, but these two principles, I hope, can maybe better help you in a practical manner. Faithful stewardship leads to reward. So we should be encouraged, people. If we are faithful in our parenting, we're going to be rewarded accordingly. I'm going back to my friend Jonathan. Sometimes we enter the game during the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. And we hope to win the game. Sometimes it's a little bit too late. But in parenting, it's never too late. It's never too late. Get involved now. Get involved now. Spend time with them. Spend time with the kids in our church. You will see those smiles in your face when you look in the mirror. I promise you that. I promise you that. I don't know how many of you saw my picture laughing when I taught the Bible. I don't know how many of you have seen me laugh like that, but these kids will bring your belly laughs out of you. It's no coincidence that Jesus told us to do children's ministry. It's really for our own good. And then the second principle, stewardship, recognize ownership. These arrows are not going to be of any good to anyone if we don't let them go. Let them go. They're not ours. Prepare them so that when we let them go, they're going to hit their target. So parenting little ones. I know this is bad English to do the apostrophe thing, Danielle, but it goes into this whole anagram. So little ones, the first L is lead them to their owner. Lead them to their owner. And then I, instruct them according to the owner's manual. Not our manual, the owner's manual. And then the last L, leave the results to their owner. Sometimes these words like tiger parent and helicopter parents came into the picture. We need to lighten up. The Bible is loaded with stories of good parenting, but sometimes are bad kids. It grieves us. But this is where we rely on the grace and providence of their owner. We pray every day. In times of need, in times when the kid is rebelling against their owner, that their owner would grab them. Like they grabbed you and me. Like he grabbed you and me while we were yet still his enemies. So, I pray that our kids can get to know their owner in a real and personal way. Let's pray. God, thank you for the little ones. I pray that you give us wisdom and strength and stamina to be godly parents. I pray that these little ones will get to know you, their owner, and will acknowledge you in all the steps in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, sing and continue to worship.